The 2020 election is anticipated to be the most contentious in recent memory, with many key decisions and races at stake. Can we trust that our votes will count? Joining us today to discuss election security is California Secretary of State Alex Padilla. Mr. Secretary, what has made the simple act of voting such an emotionally charged subject in 2020?
Well, Scott, I think it's been a long 4 years that a lot of people have been living through that has created a level of energy and excitement and enthusiasm coming into this election cycle. I mean, we felt it back in January, even before the pandemic hit. And as I like to remind people every day, you know, every election is important, and state and local elections officials are hard at work every election to make sure that they are as accessible as possible for every eligible voter. And of course, they're as secure as possible. You know, we've heard a lot about election security over the last 4 years, but given the COVID-19 pandemic, we're also hard at work to make sure that they're as safe as possible and we can protect the health of voters and election workers alike.
You've covered a lot of ground in what you just said. Share with us, though, what single issue facing this election concerns you as the ultimate protector of our election process the most?
Oh, gosh, there's a long checklist that we go through every single day from, the security and integrity of our voting infrastructure, right? Is now elections infrastructure is formally recognized as critical infrastructure by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the federal government more broadly. We're hard at work on logistics, record registration at this point in California, more than 21 million voters on the rolls, and they have multiple options for how to vote. So the logistics of printing ballots and voter information guides and mailing vote by mail ballots and how they'll be collected and counted later on. But if I had to pick one issue that really does, cause me a little stress and to lose a little sleep at night, I'd say it's the threat of election misinformation and disinformation. You know, we were rudely introduced to the dynamic in the 2016 election cycle. We've been hard at work ever since then to remind voters, look for official, reliable information on the process, whether it's how to register to vote or your options for casting a ballot. Don't just believe everything you come across on social media. Go to the source. Go to your county elections department or go to the Secretary of State's website at vote.ca.gov.
You raise the whole issue of disinformation, which raises the specter of foreign intervention in our elections process. From your role, are you seeing these types of attempts that we've heard so much about in the news media over the past several months and actually the last few years?
Yeah. Well, we do, erroneous or misleading information on a pretty regular basis. And I think it's important to, when we talk about the security of our elections, to draw an important distinction. You know, number one is what I mentioned earlier, the integrity of our elections infrastructure. Proud to say that in California, we have arguably the most secure voting infrastructure of any state in America. We've partnered with counties to upgrade or replace the voting systems that they use to systems that meet newer, higher security standards. California has long required paper ballots and a voter verifiable paper audit trail. The machines that we use for elections, whether it's to cast a ballot, to count ballots, none of that can be connected to the internet. So we make it impossible to systematically hack or rig the election. We require post-election audits, all the measures in place to protect the integrity of the vote. But that is separate and apart from, you know, are some people misled fall victim to erroneous, misleading information, regardless of the source. It could be a foreign adversary. It could be a domestic. It could be intentional. It could be unintentional. And so we take nothing for granted. We're hard at work every day trying to provide that official, reliable guidance for every eligible voter in California, especially trying to be proactive on the very platforms where they may be targeted by misinformation and disinformation. So doing our best.
It's interesting that you raise that and you talk about platforms. Recently, there have been efforts by some of the major social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and others to essentially make a decision, be the umpire for what gets allowed to be viewed and what is taken off for being quote unquote disinformation or misinformation. How do you, as an elected official in charge of protecting our electoral process here in California, balance trying to make sure that people aren't receiving misinformation or manipulated data and freedom of speech? Where do you come down on that?
Yeah, no, and it's an important line. It could be a fine line at times, but it's an important line to recognize. And so here's where we have drawn it. You know, thanks to the governor and the legislature starting in 2018, we launched the Office of Election Cybersecurity within my office. And a big part of what it does is both respond to those erroneous, misleading posts, tweets, et cetera, that we find. And we're also trying to be proactive by getting in front of voters first with the guidance on where to go for official information. When the office was first being set up and the funding was being approved, it did raise questions. Were we going to be censoring, right, political speech? And the answer is no. But I do have a responsibility, a sworn responsibility as Secretary of State, to ensure that voters are getting official information on how to participate, how to exercise their right to vote. So if we come across things as silly as, you know, voters of one party vote on Tuesday, voters of another party vote on Wednesday, clearly that is wrong. That is misleading. And we've established the protocols with the social media companies for us to bring it to their attention, their prompt review, and in the vast majority of instances, they're promptly removed. You know, you have other examples like, you know, don't accept the provisional ballot because it won't be counted. That is patently false in California, and voters deserve to know the truth. The provisional ballot option is one of the safeguards we have to protect voting rights in California. So, you know, to their credit, social media platforms have been responsive, and we have engaged the public. You can go online at vote.ca.gov, click on election cybersecurity, not just for additional information, but if you notice something suspicious on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere else, you know, take a screenshot and email it to us directly. We'll review it. If we think it meets the threshold, we'll report it to the social media companies as well and try to get it handled.
A related issue, Mr. Secretary, is the issue of voter fraud. What's your view on President Trump's continued comments claiming that voter fraud is pervasive in this country, which would include California as well?
So, look, I like dealing with facts and data. And the truth of the matter is voter fraud is exceedingly, exceedingly rare in America. It's exceedingly rare in California. And let me be even more specific. Vote by mail is very secure. And I specify that because there's been specific attacks against vote by mail.
Right. Let me just ask you the question. How rare is rare with regards to substantiated election fraud complaints in California?
Look, I'll encourage people to visit the Brennan Center website. Brennan Center at NYU that has a whole body of work on this. You know, they can assess, you know, going back 20 years of elections and maybe 0.00000 less than that percent of instances of voter fraud compared to the number of ballots cast. So, you know, when we say it's infinitesimal, it's no exaggeration. Do we take it seriously and work hard to protect against the possibility of voter fraud? Of course. And so, you know, we can go through the multiple security measures that are in place to protect the integrity of vote by mail. But your previous question was, what do we think of the attacks on elections and the suggestion that there's rampant voter fraud? It's simply not true. It's a political rhetoric, and it only serves to undermine confidence in elections where voters deserve to have confidence that their vote will be counted and counted as cast.
Let me put it a different way, and maybe this is a way to come to an end on this, which is on the top 10 issues that consume the time and the mind space of you and the staff that reports to you to ensure election integrity. Is this a top 10 issue for you all because of the amount of fraud in California?
Protecting against voter fraud, we know from experience the safeguards are working. The allegations that there's massive voter fraud in America or in California, I put back in the answer I gave you earlier about what keeps me up at night. election misinformation and disinformation to suggest otherwise when it comes to the integrity of our elections is wrong. And does it take up more time and energy out of my day to constantly correct the record? Yes, but that's what voters deserve. They deserve to know the facts. They deserve to know their multiple options for voting, voting safely during the COVID-19 pandemic. And so, you know, if the voter registration increases that we've seen of late, if the turnout in the 2018 election cycle is any indicator, I think Californians know what they need to know, and they're responding through engagement and participation.
How you talk about the COVID-19 pandemic. What trends has the pandemic accelerated that you thought would happen in California regardless, but the pandemic has brought a new urgency or forced you and all Californians to move in a direction that we were maybe crawling toward previously?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to elections, you know, we haven't had an election in California during the pandemic. If you recall, we moved our primary up this year to the first Tuesday of March, and that was just prior to declarations of emergency, stay-at-home orders, etc. But we have been monitoring and observing primary elections in other states, and that has informed how we approach the November election. And I think what it's amplified is trends that we've seen in California already, starting with vote by mail, right? So how do we prepare for the most consequential election of our lifetime this November and keep voters and poll workers safe? We chose to expand vote by mail, which has been a trend, you know, for two decades. You know, 20 years ago, maybe about a quarter of ballots cast were vote by mail ballots in the March primary election. Prior to the pandemic, you know, declaration of emergency, more than 70% of ballots cast in California were vote by mail ballots. So we're just sort of riding that increase in popularity of vote by mail. And we decided that for purposes of this November, let's just go ahead and automatically send every active registered voter a ballot by mail for purposes of this election. We'll buttress that with the in-person opportunities to vote. But, you know, to your point about, you know, previous trends, this was already happening. And COVID is a perfect reason to extend the easier opportunity to every active registered voter in the state.
Well, it raises a question. As you say, vote by mail has existed for a very long time. We older people like me used to call it getting an absentee ballot. But it didn't used to be such a contentious issue where it was actually argued about and arguably partisan now. What's behind that?
Yeah, it's sad. You know, voting by mail is not and should not be a partisan issue. It's about voting rights, right? Making it easier for eligible people to cast their ballot, doing it safely during the COVID-19 pandemic. But the partisan attacks on vote by mail are, again, baseless and not true. And if you look at who some of the loudest critics of vote by mail have been, they've also made it very public that more people voting hurts their political interests. So we got to know where it's coming from and what the motives are behind the attacks on vote by mail. And more importantly, the safeguards and security of vote by mail. So just a couple of examples. You know, the ballots that we send out for vote by mail aren't just printed on any paper. It's along the lines of our currency. Every election, every county selects specific paper types for their ballots to be printed on that include watermarks and other distinguishing features so we can guard against counterfeit ballots entering the stream, right? I bet most voters don't even know that. When you return your vote by mail ballot, it must be returned in the official envelope, which has a unique barcode for that voter. It's part of what enables our ballot tracking system. It's part of what enables us to update voter records in real time to protect against double voting. And of course, every voter has to sign that envelope. And the first thing county officials do is compare the signature on the envelope with the signature on file as part of their voter registration record to confirm the identity of the voter. If a voter forgets to sign or the signatures don't match, then counties will attempt to contact the voter to address that issue. But a lot of measures in place to protect the integrity of vote by mail counter to what you may hear from other sources from time to time.
Well, actually, when you talk about the integrity and checking signatures and things like that, there have been groups, particularly one in California, that have looked at this issue and been concerned that you, through an emergency regulation process, have made it virtually impossible to discount any vote, no matter how questionable, because of you raising standards of evidence. What was behind those emergency regulations and making it so that you had to have at least two people agree to discount a ballot before it could ever be thrown out?
Yeah, so we have 58 counties in California, and I remind us of that because ultimately elections are administered at the county level. Right, each county decides for themselves which voting system they choose to use, and different ways to comply with our state standards for elections, including signature verification. In some smaller counties, they may very well do this process manually, by hand. Some of the larger counties, given the volume, do use software and machinery to help conduct an initial review for that signature verification. You know, I go through that so that voters can rest assured no ballot is ever disqualified by a machine. Depending on the equipment being used, if the technology cannot confirm a close enough match on the signature, it gets set aside for human review. And at least a secondary and a tertiary review by a manager, by a supervisor, in many cases, even the registrar or voters for that county to make a final determination that if it's not a close enough match, and even then it's not completely disqualified, the county attempts to contact the voter to maybe update a signature or to get a signature if the instance is one where the voter forgot to sign the envelope. So a lot of measures to protect and safeguard our right to vote.
So you disagree with the Election Security Project, which is the organization that is criticizing these emergency regs, in terms of that, from their view, they want to make sure that votes that don't meet the threshold tests are not counted. I would assume what you're saying, though, is that your if you had a quote-unquote bias, it would be to make sure that every potential vote is counted.
Every eligible vote should be counted, absolutely. It's not very, very common, but not unprecedented for people to, either forget to sign the outside of their envelope. And so for the counties to take one more step and ensure the voter can submit their signature and have their vote counted, that's respecting their right to vote. For many people, maybe their signature has changed over time. I know mine has since the first time I applied for a driver's license. And we have older adults who maybe because of a health condition or sheer age, their signature changes over time. That should not mean that they lose their voting rights. We should happily do the extra work to update their signature on file and make sure their vote counted if indeed, they're eligible voters. That's what this is about, balancing election integrity with the accessibility I mentioned earlier and the fundamental voting rights that we should honor.
Right. Another related issue is across the country, there are a number of people fighting regarding the issue that's best defined as voter suppression and intimidation. Does voter suppression and intimidation exist in California?
Look, I'd like to think that it is few and far between the instances of voter suppression or intimidation. We have laws on the books against that in every election, a combination of not just enforcement or response to any complaints or incidents that may take place, but hopefully prevention through a tremendous amount of voter education. We can pride ourselves in California in having both the most secure and the most accessible electoral process of any state in the nation. So I'll make a plug for our state voter hotline. If there's anybody who has a concern or feels that they're a victim or has observed something they want to bring to our attention, they can call 1-800-345-VOTE, and we'll work with county officials to review or address any potential scenarios. It's another important law that we pride ourselves in. In California, every eligible voter has the right to be able to cast their ballot, not just how they choose, in person or by mail, but free from any harassment or intimidation.
Right. We've talked a lot in this conversation about voting by mail and all of the attendant issues. I wonder, though, how do you feel about the charge that this increasing move to on vote by mail and the lack of us all showing up on election day live to vote in some way diminishes our civic life that's been a part of the fabric of this nation going back centuries?
Yeah, look, I just respectfully have to disagree. And I say that as someone who loves to vote in person every single occasion, you know, whether I'm on the ballot or not. We always make it a family affair. We're trying to instill, you know, that tradition and that pride in our children. But look, you know, I mentioned earlier, the popularity of vote by mail has been rising on its own. Much prior to our decision to send a vote by mail ballot to every registered voter in California. But the advent of social media, right? How we socialize, how we create these community celebration experiences. Prior to Twitter and Facebook, yes, you went in person to vote by mail, you'd see your neighbors there, and you can make an event of it. Now, what do we see? People getting their vote by mail ballot and tweeting about it, posting about it in real time. We even changed the laws in California more recently to make it clear that, yes, you can take a selfie with your ballot. That is not a violation of state law, as long as if you're doing it, you can't, you know, hinder somebody else from their private voting experience at the polls. So, you know, the way we socialize and the way we celebrate moments has changed given social media. And so voting from home versus voting at the polls, multiple ways to vote and multiple ways to celebrate.
Well, it's interesting you raise that point about social media. In talking with a number of millennials, they've made the point to me that if they can bank online and they can protect their oh-so-important social media profiles online, why can't we just skip to the end, get rid of voting by mail, and just vote online?
There's a lot of technology that we've introduced to improve the voter experience, from being able to register to vote online, being able to track your ballot online, go to vote.ca.gov, click on where's my ballot. Of course, we can monitor election results online, but the actual act of casting our ballot, given the security architecture of the internet, is not going to happen anytime soon. Right, we still hear too regularly about a hack or a breach of some type. Maybe it's a movie studio, maybe it's a federal agency, you know, maybe it's a retailer. Until we stop hearing those, we should not entrust the bedrock of our democracy to the internet. Now, that being said, you know, I think we make up for that by providing multiple safe, convenient opportunities for people being able to exercise their right to vote. But until we can maintain utmost security and privacy of our ballots, I don't think we're going to be doing it online anytime soon.
Okay. I wanted to find out, the post office has been in the press a lot recently, and they are a part of the infrastructure related to vote by mail. What is the relationship between the recent changes in operations by the Postal Service and your colleagues across the country's ability to effectively manage this year's election?
Right. No, I'm glad you asked that question, because the Postal Service has been in the news and, again, has raised questions and doubt about either the vote by mail process or how confident we can be that our ballots will arrive on time. So let me speak first to what the case is for California, and then comment on the national perspective. Look, in California, just as vote by mail is nothing new, neither is our close working relationship with regional and local Postal Service representatives around election time. And so I still have confidence that returning your vote by mail ballot through the Postal Service is a reliable option. You know, California is so committed, return postage is prepaid. You don't even need to scramble for stamps. But we've also built in realities into our policies and timeframes. For example, ballots must be sent out by counties to voters for vote by mail no less than 29 days before the election. That's a month. And so even if there's some anticipated delays in the ballots getting to the voter, still ample time before the election. Voters are also reminded to return their ballot. California law allows for the ballots that as long as they're postmarked on or before election day, they can arrive after the election and still be counted for purposes of this November, 17 days after the election, and still be counted if they're postmarked on or before election day. So
let me interrupt you there, Mr. Secretary, just to ask you this question. Is it a problem that we no longer find out results on election day? And sometimes it spans out days and even weeks. Does that in any way undermine the integrity of the election process?
So I don't think so, but let me just conclude from the prior question. Ample time for your ballots to come back, but for the ultimate in transparency for the voter and accountability for the Postal Service, we're encouraging people to sign up to track their ballot under Where's My Ballot at vote.ca.gov. Just like when you're shopping online, you'll get automated alerts on the status of your ballot through the process, both on its way to the voter, on its way back to the county. And imagine the peace of mind you get when you get the confirmation email that your ballot was received and counted. So I do think we're ready, regardless of what you may hear about the Postal Service these days. But you know, you bring up another important question that we need to keep in mind for this November. For many election cycles now in California, we have a decent sense for the outcome of most contests on election night. But for closed contests and for final numbers, it does take weeks to finish counting, processing, and auditing ballots in California. It's more important to get it right than to get it fast.
Mr. Secretary, I apologize, but we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. I do want to give you 5 seconds to tell us all to get out and do what we're supposed to do.
Absolutely. So folks, you have options this year on how to vote. Make a plan. Vote early if you can. Vote by mail or vote in person, but vote early and make sure your voice is heard.
Secretary of State Alex Padilla, thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
And that's our show. Thanks to our guest, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syfax. See you next time right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.